As we begin our passage this morning of the Lord's Prayer, let's stand and recite the prayer together. The King James Version can be found in your bulletin. This will be a corporate prayer as we open up our message this morning. So if you will recite with me, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. As we continue our study on the Lord's Prayer this morning, or the model prayer, it has a preface, and followed by six or seven petitions, depending upon how you want to divide it up, in a benediction. It is the perfect prayer because it was taught by the Lord Himself. As He taught this prayer also in Luke 11, after His disciples asked Him to teach them to pray. In the preface, we are taught to address God as the Father. And the title Father points to the special relationship that we have with God. He is our Father because He is Creator over all. As we pray our Father, it points to the fact that we as believers have been adopted into His family through the blood of Christ. The term Father also points to our relationship that we have with one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we just finished reciting the prayer corporately. But not only did He teach us how we should pray to the person of God, He also included that in our prayer we should pray to God and the place of God, our Father which art in heaven. As we address the person and the place of God, we are reminded of the awesome power of God. Psalm 150, verse 1 says, Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. When we appropriately address God in His residence, we are reminded that we should be careful in approaching the most holy and righteous God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 says, Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice to fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. As we address the person and place of God, we're also reminded that we're pilgrims. We're just passing through. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. That's the preface of the Lord's Prayer. We now move into the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. The first half of the petitions deal with God. The last half of the petitions deal with men. Just like the Ten Commandments. First half, God. Second half, how we deal with men. As I studied that, when I look at my own prayers, and if you take an inventory of your prayers, and you ask yourself, are half of my prayers consumed with petitioning God and my relationship with Him, or are they consumed with my wants, my desires? See, unfortunately, we live in a time that is sorely lacking on the correct doctrine of prayer. God, in the health and wealth vein, is the celestial Santa Claus. And prayer is the act of us climbing up on His knee and asking Him for our wants and wishes. That is not biblical prayer. And so as we look at the preface in the first petition, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In other words, our first petition points to our relationship with God paid for by the blood of Christ. When we understand this, we understand what an awesome privilege that we have to go before the throne of God. We understand who God is, and we understand who we are. Now let me ask you a question this morning in regards to our first petition. Hallowed be thy name. Can we improve upon God's holiness? No, we can't. In fact, His name is holy. Turn to Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, 15. It reads, "For thus says the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones." His name is holy. Mary reiterates this in Mary's song in Luke chapter 1 in the 49th verse. She says, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." If you were taking a survey in Scripture, God is called the Holy One 40 times. Hallowed be thy name. So if we can't make God more holy, His presence, His self, His description, what does this mean? Pink, in his study on the Sermon on the Mount, made this point. This petition must take the precedence. For the glory of God's great name is the ultimate end of all things. Every other request must not only be subordinated to this one, but be in harmony with and in pursuance of it. We cannot pray aright unless the honor of God be dominant in our hearts. So if what Pink states is correct, my desire should be that through my actions, through your actions, that you sanctify the name of the Lord. See, you and I as believers have free will. A sinner doesn't have free will. A sinner can only do one thing, which is sin. But when you and I gave our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, He took the shackles of sin off of us. In taking the shackles of sin off of us, you and I have the ability to do righteous and holy things. Now, you may not choose to do that. That's your free will. But we have the ability every single day when we wake up how we are going to live our life. And through our actions, we have the ability to expound and proclaim to a lost world the holiness of God, or we have the ability to hurt our testimony in how the world perceives God. So as we approach God's throne, we should make a choice. I'm going to live my life to proclaim the holiness, the character, the righteousness of God. Hallowed be thy name. Turn with me to Leviticus 22. In Leviticus 22, God is dealing with sacrifices, whether they are acceptable or unacceptable. And when you look at verse 26 of the 22nd chapter of Leviticus, it reads, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, When a bull or a sheep or a goat is born, it shall be 7 days with its mother. And from the eighth day and thereafter, it shall be accepted as an offering made by fire to the Lord. Whether it is a cow or a ewe, do not kill both her and her young on the same day. And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. On the same day it shall be eaten, you shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. Therefore, you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord. You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord." Now, through the children of Israel, you and I have a picture of our own salvation. Children of Israel were in Egypt. They were slaves. Their life wasn't their own. They were in bondage. God delivered them, brought them into the promised land. It's a picture of our spiritual salvation. You and I were in bondage. We were slaves under sin. God broke the shackles through the power of the cross. We have access to God through Jesus Christ. He dwells in our hearts. We have life. We're free. And so when you think about Leviticus 22, and you think about God is setting up the sacrificial system that then later on points to the blood of Jesus Christ, He then says, make your sacrifices, be obedient, and through your obedience, my name will be hallowed among the children of Israel. We're the redeemed people of God, aren't we? And as the redeemed people of God, we should be hallowing the name of the Lord in our prayer life. Should be, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Whatever you do, Lord, whatever your desire is, whatever your actions are in my life, I want to be a part of it. I want you to have a holy character through my life and my actions. That's the Old Testament. Let's go to Romans 15. Romans 15, chapter 7. It says, "Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, 'For this I will confess to you among the Gentiles, and to sing to your name.'" And again He says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples." And again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Look back at verse 7. "Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made by the fathers." Jesus Christ came to this earth, dwelt as a man, and dwelt as a Jew to fulfill the covenant promises of Abraham, so that you and I may be adopted into those covenant promises and have salvation. So just as you see in Leviticus 22, where he says, "My name will be hallowed among the people of Israel." You and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, should be hallowing the name of the Lord. We should be consumed with it. It should be our purpose. Think about your prayers this last week. Were you concerned about the holiness of God? Were you concerned that how you lived your life, how you treated other people, what you said, what you did, where you went, what you watched, what you read, did it glorify and hallow the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? As his disciples in Luke 11 said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Because in this perfect prayer taught by Jesus Christ himself, who is our sacrificial lamb, the very first petition doesn't have to do with us, our desires, our wants, our needs, our selfishness. The very first petition said, "Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name." Is that you? Is that me? Because, see, I'm convinced that the one vital thing that the American church is missing this Sunday morning is a correct view of prayer. I'm convinced that our nation is sick this morning because the American church has put prayer on the very bottom of the list. I'm convinced this morning that Wednesday nights are an empty, hollow exercise because the people of God have forgot that prayer matters. We want our nation to get better. We want a revival. We want our church to be strong. We want people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It will happen when people get on their knees and say, "Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name." It's embarrassing. I think we'd have to be honest as we look at our own prayer life and say, "Am I really praying as a redeemed, saved person in the blood of Jesus Christ?" I think it's also important as we see the world getting considerably worse for us to realize that He uses all things. I've heard people give up on the power of God. Is God asleep? No. I've heard people say that. I've heard people doubt. Instead of relying on the righteousness and holiness and prayer of the believer, I've heard people say, "Well, you know, people are bad. We just need to redesign the church service and things will be better. Music needs to be better. We need to be more accepting. We need to do this. We need to do that." Prayer's nowhere to be mentioned. But my friends, I'm convinced as we see the world getting worse, we are getting closer to His second coming. We're getting closer. God uses all things to accomplish His purpose and to show His power and to magnify His name. Turn with me to Romans 9. Romans 9, starting in verse 15. It says, "For He says to Moses, 'I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion.' So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the Scripture says to the Pharaoh, 'For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth.' For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you." My friends, you and I could get on a plane this morning and we could fly over to Egypt, and it is a third world country with a lot of people living in poverty and the dust and the relics of a superpower have become a tourist site. Pharaoh's gone. Power's gone. And God told Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you." He uses all things. So as you and I approach Him in prayer, we can be confident and say, "Hallowed be your name. Because He's in control. And I'm firmly convinced as we see this world disintegrate in love, the pursuit of pleasure and entertainment, and they do not care about God, we know we're getting closer. We know we're getting closer to His return. And my friends, on that day, there's not going to be a doubt. Because the Bible says that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. He is Lord. Are you approaching Him as Lord this morning? Is your prayer life consumed with the character, righteousness, and holiness of God? Romans 11, verse 36 says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Let me read that again. "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." He's holy. He's righteous. That's who He is, through and through. See, He's different than you and me. See, you and I can be happy at times, but we're not happy all the time, are we? It's an emotion. It comes and goes. We're happy, we're sad, we're mean, we're nice. Not so with God. He's holy all the time. It's who He is. His name is holy. And we should be consumed with the fact that our lives should point to His glory. Our lives should point to His holiness. Our lives should declare the gospel to a lost world. Now, my challenge is to you as we go through this study is to start evaluating your prayer life. And as you go through your prayer life, compare your prayers to the model prayer. Isn't it wonderful that you and I have a Savior who not only loved us and gave His life for us so that we can have salvation, He also taught us what we should be doing, how we should live, how we should act. And here in Matthew 6, we have God Himself saying, this is how you pray. This is how you find life. Because after all, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Prayer is such a big part of that. Will you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a question this morning. You may be here this morning and you might not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a religious exercise. I'm asking you to ask yourself, is He my Lord? Have I given my life to Him? Am I a follower of Christ? Have I asked Him into my heart? Have I asked Him for forgiveness of sins? Have I committed my life to Him? Have I repented from sin? If you've not done that, let me tell you, a life with Christ, a walk with Christ, is the most wonderful thing that you can have. And if you don't have that this morning, His offer is open to all. You may be sitting here this morning and a believer. You may be in a follower of Christ for years. And as we sit and evaluate our prayer life, I think we have to be honest with one another and say, am I praying to the standard of the model prayer? Is half your life consumed with the kingdom of God in your prayers? Are you just asking God for what you want? He's teaching us. Our Father, I just pray as we come to You this morning, we thank You that You are a loving God. You're a God who walks with us. You dwell with us. And I just pray that we not take our prayer life for granted. I pray that this church might be a people of prayer. I pray that we might be so burdened about our community and our lost neighbors and our lost family members that we would earnestly pray. I pray, Father, that You would instruct us and burden us on prayer. I pray if there's someone here who needs to make a decision, that they'd do so today, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning? Is He speaking to you?